It was a pity his name was not more Irish-looking. Perhaps it would be better to insert his mother's name before the surname, Thomas Malone Chandler. Or better still, T. Malone Chandler. He would speak to Gallagher about it. He pursued his reverie so ardently that he passed his street and had to turn back. As he came near Corliss's, his former agitation began to overmaster him, and he halted before the door in indecision. Finally, he opened the door and entered. The light and noise of the bar held him at the doorway for a few moments. He looked about him, but his sight was confused by the shining of many red and green wine glasses. The bar seemed to him to be full of people, and he felt that the people were observing him curiously. He glanced quickly to right and left, frowning slightly to make his errand appear serious. But when his sight cleared a little, he saw that nobody had turned to look at him. And there, sure enough, was Ignatius Gallagher, leaning with his back against the counter and his feet planted far apart. "Hello, Tommy, old hero, here you are. What is it to be? What will you have? I'm taking whiskey. Better stuff than we get across the water. Soda, lithia, no mineral. I'm the same, spoils the flavor. Here, garçon, bring us two halves of malt whiskey like a good fellow. Well, and how have you been pulling along since I saw you last? Dear God, how old we're getting. Do you see any signs of aging in me, huh? What? A little grey and thin on the top, what?" Ignatius Gallagher took off his hat and displayed a large, closely cropped head. His face was heavy, pale and clean-shaven. His eyes, which were of bluish slate colour, relieved his unhealthy pallor and shone out plainly above the vivid orange tie he wore. Between these rival features, the lips appeared very long and shapeless and colourless. He bent his head and felt with two sympathetic fingers the thin hair at the crown. Little Chandler shook his head as a denial. Ignatius Gallagher put on his hat again. "It pulls you down," he said. "Press life. Always hurry and scurry. Looking for a copy and sometimes not finding it. And then, always to have something new in your stuff. Damn proofs and printers, I say, for a few days. I'm deuced glad, I can tell you, to get back to the old country. There's a fella good, bit of a holiday. I feel a ton better since I landed again in dear, dirty Dublin. Here you are, Tommy. Water. Say when." Little Chandler allowed his whiskey to be very much diluted. "You don't know what's good for you, my boy," said Ignatius Gallagher. "I drink mine neat." "I drink very little as a rule," said Little Chandler modestly. "An odd half one or so when I meet any of the old crowd, that's all." "Ah, well," said Ignatius Gallagher cheerfully. "Here's to us and to old times and to old acquaintance." They clinked glasses and drank the toast. "I met some of the old gang today," said Ignatius Gallagher. "O'Hara seems to be in a bad way. What's he doing?" "Nothing," said Little Chandler. "He's gone to the dogs." "But Hogan has a good sit, hasn't he?" "Yes, he's in the Land Commission. I met him one night in London. He seemed to be very flush." "Poor O'Hara. Booze, I suppose." "The other things too," said Little Chandler shortly. Ignatius Gallagher laughed. "Tommy," he said, "I see you haven't changed an atom. You're the very same serious person that used to lecture me on Sunday mornings when I had a sore head and a fur on my tongue. You'd want to knock about a bit in the world. Have you never been anywhere, even for a trip?" "I've been to the Isle of Man," said Little Chandler. Ignatius Gallagher laughed. "The Isle of Man," he said. "Go to London or Paris. Paris for a choice. That'd do you good." "Have you seen Paris?" "I should think I have. I've knocked about there a little." "And is it really so beautiful as they say?" asked Little Chandler. He sipped a little of his drink, while Ignatius Gallagher finished his boldly. "Beautiful," said Ignatius Gallagher, pausing on the word and on the flavour of his drink. "It's not so beautiful, you know. Of course, it is beautiful, but it's the life of Paris, that's the thing. Ah, there's no city like Paris for gaiety, movement, excitement." Little Chandler finished his whiskey, and after some trouble, succeeded in catching the barman's eye. He ordered the same again. "I've been to the Moulin Rouge," Ignatius Gallagher continued when the barman had removed their glasses. "And I've been to all the bohemian cafes. Hot stuff. Not for a pious chap like you, Tommy." Little Chandler said nothing until the barman returned with the two glasses. Then he touched his friend's glass lightly and reciprocated the former toast. He was beginning to feel somewhat disillusioned. Gallagher's accent and way of expressing himself did not please him. There was something vulgar in his friend which he had not observed before. But perhaps it was only the result of living in London amid the bustle and competition of the press. The old personal charm was still there under this new gaudy manner, and, after all, Gallagher had lived. He had seen the world. Little Shander looked at his friend enviously. "Everything in Paris is gay," said Ignatius Gallagher. "They believe in enjoying life, and don't you think they're right? If you want to enjoy yourself properly, you must go to Paris. And, mind you, they've a great feeling for the Irish there. When they heard I was from Ireland, they were ready to eat me, man." Little Chandler took 4 or 5 sips from his glass. "Tell me," he said, "is it true that Paris is so immoral, as they say?" Ignatius Gallagher made a Catholic gesture with his right arm. "Every place is immoral," he said. "Of course you do find spicy bits in Paris. Go to one of the students' balls, for instance. That's lively, if you like, when the cocottes begin to let themselves loose. You know what they are, I suppose."
"I've heard of them," said Little Chandler. Ignatius Gallagher drank off his whiskey and shook his head.
"Ah," he said, "you may say what you like. There's no woman like the Parisienne. For style. For go."
"Then it is an immoral city," said Little Chandler with timid insistence. "I mean, compared with London or Dublin."
"London," said Ignatius Gallagher. "It's 6 of 1 and half a dozen of the other. You ask Hogan, my boy. I showed him a bit about London when he was over there. He'd open your eye. I say, Tommy, don't make punch of that whiskey. Liquor up."
"No, really."
"Oh, come on, another one won't do you any harm."
"What is it?"
"Same again, I suppose."
"Well, all right."
"Francois, the same again. Will you smoke, Tommy?"
Ignatius Gallagher produced his cigar case. The two friends lit their cigars and puffed at them in silence until their drinks were served.
"I'll tell you my opinion," said Ignatius Gallagher, emerging after some time from the clouds of smoke in which he had taken refuge. "It's a rum world. Talk of immorality. I've heard of cases... what am I saying? I've known them. Cases of immorality."
Ignatius Gallagher puffed thoughtfully at his cigar, and then, in a calm historian's tone, he proceeded to sketch for his friends some pictures of the corruption which was rife abroad. He summarized the vices of many capitals and seemed inclined to award the palm to Berlin. Some things he could not vouch for, his friends had told him, but of others he had had personal experience. He spared neither rank nor caste. He revealed many of the secrets of religious houses on the continent, and described some of the practices which were fashionable in high society, and ended by telling, with details, a story about an English duchess, a story which he knew to be true. Little Chandler was astonished.
"Ah, well," said Ignatius Gallagher, "here we are in old jog-along Dublin, where nothing is known of such things."
"How dull you must find it," said Little Chandler, "after all the other places you've seen."
"Well," said Ignatius Gallagher, "it's a relaxation to come over here, you know. And after all, it's the old country, as they say, isn't it? You can't help having a certain feeling for it. That's human nature. But tell me something about yourself. Hogan told me you had tasted the joys of connubial bliss 2 years ago, wasn't it?"
Little Chandler blushed and smiled.
"Yes," he said. "I was married last May, 12 months. I hope it's not too late in the day to offer my best wishes," said Ignatius Gallagher. "I didn't know your address, or would have done so at the time."
He extended his hand, which Little Chandler took.
"Well, Tommy," he said, "I wish you and yours every joy in life, old chap, and tons of money, and may you never die till I shoot you. And that's the wish of a sincere friend. An old friend, you know that?"
"I know that," said Little Chandler.
"Any youngsters?" said Ignatius Gallagher.
Little Chandler blushed again.
"We have one child," he said. "Son or daughter?"
"A little boy."
Ignatius Gallagher slapped his friend sonorously on the back. "Bravo," he said. "I wouldn't doubt you, Tommy."
Little Chandler smiled. looked confusedly at his glass and bit his lower lip with three childishly white front teeth. "I hope you'll spend an evening with us," he said, "before you go back. My wife will be delighted to meet you. We can have a little music and..."
"Thanks awfully, old chap," said Ignatius Gallagher. "I'm sorry we didn't meet earlier, but I must leave tomorrow night."
"Tonight, perhaps?"
"I'm awfully sorry, old man. You see, I'm over here with another fella. Clever young chap he is too, and we arranged to go to a little card party. Only for that..."
"Oh, in that case..."
"But who knows," said Ignatius Gallagher considerately. "Next year I may take a little skip over here, now that I've broken the ice. It's only a pleasure deferred."
"Very well," said little Shanda.
"The next time you come, we must have an evening together. That's agreed now, isn't it?"
"Yes, that's agreed," said Ignatius Gallagher.
"Next year, if I come, parole d'honneur."
"And to clinch the bargain," said little Chandler, "we'll just have one more now." Ignatius Gallagher took out a large gold watch and looked at it.
"Is it to be the last?" he said. "Because, you know, I have an AP.
"Oh, yes, positively," said little Chandler.
"Very well, then," said Ignatius Gallagher. "Let us have another one as a Doc and Doris. That's good vernacular for a small whiskey, I believe."
Little Chandler ordered the drinks. The blush which had risen to his face a few moments before was establishing itself. A trifle made him blush at any time, and now he felt warm and excited. Three small whiskies had gone to his head, and Gallagher's strong cigar had confused his mind, for he was a delicate and abstinent person. The adventure of meeting Gallagher after 8 years, of finding himself with Gallagher in Corliss's, surrounded by lights and noise, of listening to Gallagher's stories, and of sharing for a brief space Gallagher's vagrant and triumphant life, upset the equipoise of his sensitive nature.